Desire your prayers this morning. For the last couple of weeks, the Lord's been dealing with me about something. I'd like to start with a verse in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Thinking this morning about vision being real clear, it says, right now we see through a glass darkly. Yes. I think of that verse as me being able to take a look at life, and when I'm measuring it up against things, I'm really only able to see part of the picture. I'm not able to see real clearly. There is another verse in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. It says, "There are some things that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him." Yes. It says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." But the next verse says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And I think what He would like to do to each of us today, He's been trying to do that to me this past couple weeks, is to be able to take the things that we see in life and be able to have something to measure them against. I have been thinking about heaven this last couple weeks. Because you know what? If we're not careful, this earth is all I've known. Yes. My job, my family, my friends, my home, the temporal blessings that He's given us. And if I'm not real careful, because they're so valuable to me, I don't want to leave them. This is all I know. And I believe all the time the Lord is trying to get us in this glass that we see through darkly, to get us to be able to have a little clearer vision of what He really intends for us to, how He intends for us to measure life. I need a vision. You know that verse that says, "Without a vision, the people perish"? I'm thinking about that verse this way. Without me having a vision of life compared to eternity, of life compared to heaven, I'm going to perish. My hope is going to perish. Yes. Without a vision this past week, when Brother George Montgomery passed away and when Sister Rebecca passed away, without a vision, hope kind of perishes.
Yes.
The world would look at what happened to Sister Rebecca and say, what a loss. 60 years old, she could have probably gone in and picked herself up some more time, even with the illness she had. And that's probably true. But you know what? The Lord would like for us to have a vision that we're passing through this life, and He's holding out a treasure for us to just be faithful for a little while and make it. I'd like for us this morning to take a look at a few. There's been some songwriters that wrote some songs that tried to bring it into perspective. I'd like to start with number 213. It says, "Pilgrim of Jesus, o'er life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view." Today, when things are going real well, when I have great health, I have a good job, my home, my family, my friends. At that time, He's saying, keep heaven in view. Don't forget that you're just passing through this and you're soon going to leave it. Keep heaven in view. Then the last verse says, "Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above long has been waiting for you." Yes. How do we balance that all out? Have I been long waiting for it? Or, you know what, if I get my everything that I have, you know, you talk about all of our eggs in one basket. If all of my hopes and dreams were for here, for right now, the very mention of somebody talking to me about heaven, I don't want to hear it. This is where my life is. There are people that look out toward retirement. This is as far as my view goes to. They don't even look past retirement to death. We are kind of taught this all through our life out in the world. Put back some money for retirement, because that's going to be your golden years. You have enough money, and life will be great. And that's how far my tape measure goes to. It stops at retirement. Folks, if it does that, I'm kind of like the verse says, I'm of all men most miserable. Yes. If I cannot see, if I cannot have a vision that extends past that, that you know what, there's something that awaits the Christian that'll be so great. I'd like to look at another verse, number 477. Because these things help us to bring back into view when we go to Sister Rebecca's funeral at 60 years old or so. And it seems like, Lord, I got a lot of reasons why it would have been good for you to heal her. She was needed in the congregation. Brother Carl needed her. You know, do we ever have reasons to say, I believe it was time for them to go? Uh-uh. We'll always want people to be able to stay. But this one, 477, he had a view. He said, there are so many hills to climb upward. I often am longing for rest. Then it says, but he who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. I know in his word he has promised that my strength, it shall be as my day. And the toils of the road will seem nothing. This is that vision. You know, we're looking through a glass darkly. I sometimes can get to seeing just these troubles that I'm going through. I can only see today. It says, but when then I'll be able to say the toils of this road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. He also has in the third verse, he loves me too well to forsake me or give me a trial too much. His people have been dearly purchased and Satan can never claim such. By and by, that's what we each one need to view out ahead of us. Yeah. I shall see him and praise him in the city of unending day. Then the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. When that last fourth verse, when the last feeble step has been taken and the gates of that city appear. This is what the person of this world that has taught me all through the years, Dan, get yourself some money saved up and you will be living great. He's not able to reach to this one right here. When the last feeble step has been taken and the gates of that city appear and the beautiful songs of the angels float out on my listening ear. Can you just picture Sister Rebecca Monday as her time came close? I just somehow believe that glass, we see through a glass darkly. I think the shade got pulled up to where she was able to get a view of it. It would be good for us each one today to have a view that I have something always to measure this life against. Maybe even life is going so well that I don't have time for the Lord. I need to be measured because heaven is where I want to end up, and I need to always keep it in view. When the Lord calls for someone, that I not see it as a loss when they have lived their life to where they're ready, that I see it as a victory because I want to be able to make it myself one day. When all that now seems so mysterious, you know, it's just so hard. That's why I'm wrapped in today, my family. I don't want to leave them, my friends, my job, it's all I know. When all of it now seems so mysterious, all we have is by faith we understand that there's something out ahead for those that are faithful. We'll be bright and as clear as the day. Then the toils of the road will seem nothing. I believe Sister Rebecca would tell us that today. Amen. Those 3 months that she had, that she went through suffering, she went through trouble, I believe she'd tell us today, that was nothing compared to just stepping over. And each of you could look back on the past and see loved ones. I think about Mom and Dad both. To have gone through their life suffering. I mean, I remember when I was a child, both of them suffering. All through my life, both of them had trouble. But you know what I believe? There's a very good chance neither of them would have made it had the Lord turned them loose to go do what they wanted to do with good health. And the reason I think that is they both had drive. They both had ambition. They would push to get things done and make things happen. And you know, if the Lord hadn't throttled them back, possibly they would have got wrapped up in all these things around them. But the Lord said, you know what, I've got something out here for Dale and Dora. And it's going to be worth it so much to them that I'll put the throttle. I'll have this, the governor, like we put on a car so it won't ruin itself by racing too fast. I'm going to hold them back some with afflictions Because I tell you what, at the end of the road, they're both going to say, right was the pathway leading to this. And for me to be able to have that myself today, whatever the Lord sends my way, I believe He's in control. He was in control of Sister Rebecca's. We see this life. We see Brother Carl having to continue on without her. But you know what? My prayer is that Brother Carl will get him a picture of heaven and her there and him just a few days away. At the very most, we're all just a few days away of leaving out of here. When we compare it to how long eternity is, it somehow seems like if I could live 70 years, that would be wonderful. If I could have good health, that would be wonderful. You know what? It's going to be gone so quick. I'm at 55 now. At the very best, I've got just a few more left myself. I need to start realizing, yes, the Lord has given me temporal things. He's given them for me to enjoy. I don't believe He ever intended for us to be miserable while we're here. That my mind is so much on heaven that I can't stand the things that He's given me here. I believe He wants us to enjoy it with always in mind. I have not seen nor ear heard the things He's prepared. Here's the things that He's shown me. What is that going to be that He has not shown me yet? I want to be able to see it. There's another verse said, for the Lord God, this is Psalms 84:11, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. To mom and dad, I believe He did not withhold any good thing from them. Remember the verse that says, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Yes. It was a good thing that the Lord brought some things into my life to kind of shake me a little bit, to realize that, you know what, this is a temporal place here. I'm going to go away and leave it one day. When we are told in Matthew 6, and 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. Because here's the bottom line of it all. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If I build everything for here, the very thought of leaving it, I'm going to do everything I can to stay here with it. This is saying, have some treasure over there. Because then whenever I do that, we sing that song, and I don't want it to be just a song. It says, this world is not my home. Yes. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It says, the angels beckon me from heaven's open shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So, am I miserable every day that I have to stay? We can enjoy life to the fullest with the things that He's given us. Yes. Realizing there's something even better than this that awaits us. I'd like for us to look at another verse, because Paul gives us an example of this, of having a vision of heaven and what it did for him while he was here, before he ever even went there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is that? He's laid up some treasure over on the other side. He realizes, as Hebrews said in the 11th chapter, there were some people that confessed that they were just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just moving through this life. I'm soon going to go somewhere else. And he says, while this outward man is perishing, you know, that makes some people desperate as the outward man perishes. If I have my only hope is here, as that starts diminishing, looking like it's fitting to come to a close in desperation. There are people that have been wealthy, plenty of money, and said, I'd swap it all if this doctor could give me a few more days. Folks, everyone, I've thought about this, people that have been doctors that have maybe come up with great technology, they have been able to stop this disease. One day they go too. There's nobody. None of us will stay here. So he says, when Paul was looking at it, he says, our light affliction. Yeah. And you remember looking through when he started counting off how many times he was beaten, how he was left for dead, how his own those closest to him turned against him. And then he would say, none of these things move me. It's because he had a picture. He had a vision. It says here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. If he had looked at all the trouble that was happening to him as he wanted to walk with the Lord, he could have given up. But he says, I'm looking at things that are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I believe there was a vision that Paul got, and it tells us about it over in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at this in the 12th chapter. He got a vision of something that carried him all the way through until the Lord called him home. And when he closed it all up, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown, and not for me, but for all those who love his appearing. Here in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul gives a little account of something that happened in his life. He says, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I don't know for sure when all this happened, but you remember there were some times when he was stoned on the outside of the city and they thought he was dead and left him there, and in a little bit he gets up and comes back in. I just wonder if this could have been one of those times when the Lord gave him a vision of what it's going to be on the other side. And with that, he goes on down here, and because nobody else has been able to see what Paul saw, he said the Lord gave him an affliction, something that he would not lift him up too high. Yes. That I got to see this and nobody else did. So he said, lest I should be, this is the seventh verse, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he asked the Lord to help him get rid of it.
Yes.
You know, he had a vision, I believe, a real vision that carried him through all the things that happened to him, to the point that this vision that he had of what awaited him caused him to say, when the Lord said, I'm not going to take this trouble away from you, I'm going to give you grace. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities. These troubles that come to me now, I've put them on the scale against what I just saw that waits me if I'll be faithful. And I'll go through any one of them. We need to be able to have that. There's another place that I would like to look at with in Philippians that Paul talked about when he's talking to the people there. Philippians 1, this vision that he had, it carried him through. For me, 21st verse of the first chapter of Philippians, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yeah.
Now, you know what, to be able to see that, to really be able to say that, I'm going to have a vision. I'm going to have to realize that, you know what, this life isn't what I've put all of my stock into. I'm going to leave it someday. For me to die is gain. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Look at this next verse. He's in a strait. Are we in a strait today, like he was? He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So he's saying, you know what? I saw this vision, and I tell you, with all the trouble that I'm going through, if I had my choice about it, I'd like to go live there. I'd like to move there. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, we each one need to have a vision of heaven, that it has a draw to us. I want to make it one day when he calls for me. But then he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. So what he's saying is, you know what? If I got what I would like, I'd love to go to heaven. But I tell you what, I realize that I need to stay and be a help to others around me. And so I submit to that. That is a challenge to me, to live that way, that heaven holds such a place to me that it's not punishment when it almost looks like I might be fitting to get to go there, that I would enjoy what I have here. I believe he wants us to do it. So let's keep the balance here. Every day that he gives me health, every day that life is going well for me, appreciate it, love it. Should it look like the call is coming, that I will have a vision. I will not be seeing through this glass darkly. I'll have a vision like Paul did. To when he calls for me, I'm ready to go. You know, I was thinking about Brother George Montgomery. It was amazing to me how he stood solid of whatever the Lord wants to do with me. It was just the Sunday before Christmas that he was at Guthrie Assembly meeting. Saw several people here and talked to you. And he had no idea. He had driven up there from Alabama by himself. Seemed like health was great. He had no idea that 2 days later, I was talking to his son, said he was there, Randy. He was there with him at Christmas for dinner. And Randy told me, he said, you know what? He was in there with the grandchildren playing with them and all. And so we called that dinner is ready. We all came to the table and gave grace, said thanks for the food, and said as soon as we finished saying thanks for the food, his stroke hit him. And he went down from that point. We went over and visited with him a couple days later, and you know what? There was no struggle with him about, I have got to stay here. You know, it was amazing to me how that he just had that thing submitted. And I'll tell you another thing that was amazing is how his children just right there, okay, Dad, if he would have said, look, here, I gotta have help, they would have taken him. But you know what? When he said, nope, this is the way I lived, whatever the Lord wants to do for me. This wasn't his first round with something like this. They told, at his funeral, told about how the heat stroke that he had had a year or so ago that could have taken him out on a job site, and said when 911 was called and the ambulance got there, he had started coming to a little bit and saw what was happening. And he said, oh, no, he said, I just want to go home. Let me get home. And they told him, said, well, you're going to have to sign this paper to take the responsibility off of us for not helping you. And his glasses had fallen off, and he said, well, look, I can't see, just point to where I need to put my name then. That said so much to me about he enjoyed this life. Yeah. But you know what? He was confessing that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. When it comes time that the Lord calls for me, and I want it to be for us each one today more than just talk, but I would like tomorrow, as I go back to my job, things are going well, that I realize, you know what, this is so temporary. I don't want to let anything stop me. And for the young people that are here today, I want to tell you, it's going to be so important for you to get a vision of heaven that awaits if you'll be faithful. What it'll do for you is when the devil comes along with a temptation and says, oh, that thing is so far out there, you'll be able to make corrections and make it at the end, that you'll say, oh, no, I got this vision of what awaits me, and it is so much better that I'll turn down. You remember what Moses said? He chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So it'd be all right for us to even tell the devil, you know what? Yep, there's a lot of glitter out there. There's a lot of pull to it. But I got this picture of heaven that I wouldn't swap anything for. The Salees have this. I'd heard this song that they sang. I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. It said, I would never trade forever for a few days down here. Yes. I would never miss heaven for the world. Whatever the world has to offer me, the glitter, everything that it has to hold out to me, I'm not going to swap it for what I have awaiting me if I'll be faithful. When Sister Patsy Kane died, she had a request for her funeral, a song that she wanted sung. It was this one, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Yes. You know, we're each one in a battle to keep nothing between on the day that he calls for me. And you know what? The Lord's going to do everything he can to show us, to show me. He longs for me to make heaven my home, and he wants there to be nothing between. And that was Sister Patsy's desire. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. There's another verse in 1 John in the third chapter. It says in the first verse, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Then that second verse says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So this is that hope that we have, that I'm going to make heaven my home one day. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. Because I remember the old song that says, "Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there." You remember that song just sung out in the world years ago? And it's going to take more than me just having a goal and a desire. Because this verse continues on. It says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Have you felt it over the last weeks? Has the Lord ever dealt with you about something? He has with me. Something that I had done that his disapproval was on. You know what? It wasn't to say, "I'm just trying to find something up. Dan, I want to find something to keep you out of heaven." Uh-uh. What he was doing was right here. "Every man that hath this hope, that hath this plan, I'm going to make heaven my home, he'll purify himself." Every time I show him something to change, an adjustment to make in his life, instead of saying, "Oh, that's a little thing right there. Others are doing it, I can do it." Uh-uh. I would never miss heaven for anything. Let him show me whatever he wants to in my life. There is another song that I'd like for us to look at, number 363. It says, "Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me?" You know what? That choice is completely mine. Yes. "The devil cannot keep me from making heaven. Oh, how happy I'll be when my spirit is free over there in such blissful repose." Is that my view of when I die? Do I have it so strong today that it'll carry me like it did Paul through those troubles that comes to him the next day, the next day, the next shipwreck, that he be able to have a prize over there? This says, "Let my anchor be grounded so deep in the rock, till the storms of this life all are past, that I'll firmly endure on the promise secure, till he brings me to glory at last. Yes, I will wear a crown over there. Whatever comes my way, by the Lord's help, I'm going to make it." And there was another verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and you know what? We know that it will be dissolved one day. Yes. "Every one of us will go. We know that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And that one is song number 228. There are a lot of songs, if we would stop sometime, pull out our songbook, there were people that got visions of what awaits the faithful. This one says in 228, "I know this earthly house shall fall, but on that golden strand I have a bright and a blissful home, a house not made with hands." So I put on the scales the troubles that can come to me, the sickness that can come to me and to others, and realize that, you know what, there's something that awaits us all if we'll be faithful. There's one more verse that I'd like for us to look at, and that's in John 14th chapter. The promise that Jesus left to us each one. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, the world would try to get us to live that this is all there is to it. My only enjoyment will be here, and I'm going to get all that I can. This one says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." He says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that await him." I would like for us to close with one more song, Number 373. As we go from here, and as we give thought to this life compared to heaven, it would be good for us, because you know what? There are a lot of people that spend their years saying, I need retirement to be built. I'm going to take on two jobs because it's going to be so valuable for me to at least have $1 million whenever I retire, because I'll be able to be set well. I need to be putting that kind of energy into thinking about my eternal home. What awaits me? Because young people and old people, what it's going to do is it's going to cause us to make adjustments. Whatever adjustments are needed, that I will be guaranteed that home in heaven. I desire your prayers.